Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff. The Bible Answer Man is the radio ministry of the Christian Research Institute, designed to equip believers to defend their faith and become true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. Our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. You can find us on the internet at equip.org. And now, to begin today's broadcast, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. As we start the broadcast today, I certainly want to mention that there is a move afoot towards embracing annihilationism. It is gaining ground as we embrace a kinder, gentler theology, perfectly suited for a feel-good generation. And so today, hell's imagery is more common in comic pages than church pulpits. Preachers prefer to dwell on more uplifting themes. As a result, hell has all but disappeared, and no one seems to have noticed. I love what J.I. Packer once said. He said that Western evangelicals live in a post-Christian, human-centered, self-absorbed, feel-good secular culture which reduces all religion to a private hobby. The modern passion to find dignity and worth in all religions presses upon them. Their imaginations have been contaminated with the world's disgust at people like Jonathan Edwards and his attempt to make vivid the thought that without Christ, we are but sinners in the hands of an angry God. And so today we have people ranging from Rob Bell to the late Clark Pinnock, who believed that everyone from Hitler to God-denying atheists are going to end up in heaven. In fact, Rob Bell once says that if your God will punish people for all eternity for sins committed in a few short years, there is something so drastically wrong that no amount of clever marketing or compelling language can camouflage it. And of course, to correct the wrong, Bell markets a God suited for a human-centered, self-absorbed, feel-good secular culture. Clark Pinnock said that he considered the concept of hell an outrageous doctrine, a bad doctrine which needs to be changed. How can Christians possibly project a deity of such cruelty and vindictiveness whose ways include inflicting everlasting torture upon his creatures, however sinful they may have been? Surely a God, he said, who would do such a thing is more nearly like Satan than like God. Surely the God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is no fiend. Torturing people without end is not what our God does. Everlasting torment is intolerable from a moral point of view because it makes God into a bloodthirsty monster who maintains an everlasting Auschwitz for victims whom he does not even allow the privilege of death. Of course, in saying what he said, Clark Pinnock was simply salting the water, as it were, because nowhere in the Bible is there an indication that God tortures people. Rather, the indication of Scripture is that hell is torment, and that is a most certain distinction with a very significant difference. Millard Erickson, quite frankly, responded best when he said, in response to Pinnock, "If anyone is going to describe sending persons to endless punishment as cruelty and vindictiveness, and a God who would do such a thing is more nearly like Satan than God, a bloodthirsty monster maintaining an everlasting Auschwitz, he'd better be certain that he is correct, because if he is wrong, he is guilty of blasphemy. A wiser course of action would be restraint in one's statements, just in case they may be wrong." And of course, they are wrong, because the Bible is emphatic in this regard. but unfortunately common sense in our day has given way to credulity. And as philosopher Peter Kreft as well said, we now fall for such refutations of hell as, are you living in the 21st century or are you still living in the Dark Ages? And behind that kind of rhetoric is a dying but yet dominant humanism, a faith in humanity despite Auschwitz, despite the Gulag, despite Cambodia, despite Jonestown. We're shocked when we hear about those kinds of things. But previous generations were not. Why? Because they believed in evil. Common sense distinctions between good and evil have not only been blurred by our culture, they have virtually been obliterated. And that is precisely why Eastern religions have become politically correct and popular in Western regions. They, like so many in our culture, simply do not believe in hell. And that is why totalitarianism, collectivism, communism are still popular today. Because as in Eastern religions, the individual and his terrible burden of responsibility and freedom are removed. And so we think of ourselves as having progressed in our appreciation of the value of love, but that's counterbalanced by the sentimentalizing of love as mere kindness or tolerance. Scratch freedom, you find hell. Everyone wants to have free will, and no one wants there to be hell. Yet, if there's either one, there must be the other. I've written about this in various places, including Afterlife, but the march toward universalism is a march that has no biblical basis. A lot of you hanging on, we'll go right to the phone callers. First up, Wendy listening in El Paso, Texas, KLP. Hi, Wendy.
Hello.
Hi.
Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I have a question for you in regards to predestination.
Yeah.
I looked up the definition, and not that I really had looked up the definition, but it kind of troubled my spirit, and I had my question for you would be this. According to this definition of predestination by the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, it says, the doctrine that God, in consequence of his foreknowledge of all events, infallibly guides those who are destined for salvation. I'm confused with the scripture that says, all those who believe, to those who believe, the power to become a son of God. And also to the other scripture that says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whomsoever believes in him shall not die but have everlasting life. And I'm confused in this. I love to share the gospel with people, but to what extent should we encourage people who have not ever known the Lord or who have fallen away from the Lord to even encourage them to come back to the Lord or to salvation if the final end of it is that if they're guided by God to be saved or not, it'll all pan out in the end?
Well, first of all, God ordains the means as well as the ends, and we are the means by which the gospel goes out throughout the world. Secondly, let me say this, that words and phrases take on the meaning that is poured into those words or phrases. So it's very important to recognize that different theologians pour different meanings into the word predestination. And at the end of the day, the meaning that's poured into the word ought to be a meaning that is thoroughly biblical. In other words, the meaning should be derived from the context of Scripture as opposed to being imposed onto the Scripture. But certainly from my perspective, God created the potential for evil, but he did not create evil. In fact, had he created evil, it would be hard to distinguish God from evil itself. God creates the potential for evil, and that potential was actualized by human beings. But the scripture is very clear that God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that they should turn from their evil ways and find life. And so those who want a relationship with the Lord have a provision for that relationship through the person and work of Jesus Christ, who is the predestined one. And if we are in Jesus Christ, we are by virtue of that elect. And so all those who wish to have a relationship with the Lord can turn from their sin and receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord of their lives. Now, there are schools of theology that say that is not possible, that God creates people in such a way that they cannot respond to the gospel. And there are other schools of theology that say that is decidedly wrong. And that is a debate between Christians. But ultimately, that should never become the pretext for not sharing the gospel. We are called to share the gospel so that the gospel can go out throughout the world and so that the kingdom of God can be advanced and ultimately consummated in his second appearing.
Okay, that's pretty clear. So we should even encourage people who fall away from the faith. Let's say they feel they're too weak to follow the Lord and they prefer it's more comfortable for them to live in the flesh. We should always be positive and say, God did die for you. Jesus did die for you, that you would be saved all the way up until the end, correct?
Well, here's the situation. If you want a relationship with Jesus Christ, you will in no way be turned away. If you are unwilling to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, then you are left in your deadness in sin. But those who want Jesus Christ, who want to participate in the kingdom, he will not turn his back on you, nor will he throw an obstacle in your way. Our responsibility is to recognize that we are sinners, to be willing to repent of our sin and receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord of our life, to become disciples of Jesus Christ and as such participants in the kingdom. And if that is our desire, the King not only invades our lives, but he changes those lives from the inside out. So yes, we should preach the gospel, be prepared in season and out of season, nor should we ever suppose that we can judge who participants of the kingdom are and who are those that are not participants of the kingdom. Our responsibility is to preach the word and to always be ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within us, and give that answer with gentleness and with respect.
Thank you so much, Hank. That was a great answer. Thank you so much.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Let's go back to the phone lines and talk to Jay, Old Hickory, Tennessee, Bot Radio. Hi, Jay.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Well, I'm very well. I'm very well. Thank you for asking. I have a question that addresses a previous broadcast where you're talking about hell. And I've heard you talk about this before, and I've just been kind of curious. I've heard other pastors say the same thing. Let me preface it this way. As a teenager, I had friends that always told me that those that were sexually active, they knew that I wasn't, that I planned to wait till I got married, which I did. And being 51, you know, that kind of tells you what generation I come from. So anyway, I told them, I'm going to wait till I get married. And they kept saying, you don't know what you're missing. You just don't know what you're missing. And I told them, in my great wisdom at 18, well, how can I miss it if I don't know what it is? So if people that have never chosen to have a relationship with God are going to be separated from him for time and all eternity in a place where you're saying that hell is just separation from God and there's nothing, really no other component as described in the word called fire or outer darkness, weeping, gnashing of teeth, all that. They're just simply removed from the presence of God. How can they miss the glorious presence of God and how fabulously awesome it is to be in his presence if they never experienced it in the first place?
Well, we do experience it, though. In other words, no matter where we are on planet Earth, we have a knowledge of God written on the canvas of our consciousness. Not only that, we have a knowledge of God which is given to us in the universe itself. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. And so we have an inbred, as it were, knowledge of God, as well as an exterior evidence for God. And so we can turn away from that, or we can embrace that. That's the thing. But it's not as though we don't know that there is a God. All of us do. Jesus said light came into darkness, but men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. But just a quick comment on your word just. Being separated from God for all eternity is not just. It is an extraordinary horror. The metaphors that describe hell, they serve to illuminate the horror of hell. They don't diminish hell. Hell is far greater than the metaphors actually can fully codify. The martyrs experienced fire, but what they did not experience was the horror of being perpetually unloved by the very one in whose image they had been created. I have to leave it at that, but I've written about this in detail in Afterlife. We'll be right back with more.
Not only do fast food Christianity books make unbiblical promises, they ultimately promise what they cannot deliver. That's where Hank Hanegraaff's Secrets to Real Intimacy with God stands apart. Instead of an instant formula, Hank's new book helps you grow in intimacy with the lover of your soul. Hank wants to send you a copy of his special resource as thanks for your gift when you support the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This is the last day to request this unique and transformational resource as our thanks for your gift. So please request your copy when you go to equip.org. That's equip.org. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff. Hank Hanegraaff stumbled upon a secret when it comes to his beloved game of golf. When things go wrong with his game, it's not because he's failing to follow some faddish formula. It's because he's compromised a basic fundamental. Getting back to basics applies not only to the game of golf, but also to the art of Christian living. And that's why Hank wants to put his newest book, Secrets to Real Intimacy with God, into your hands. He wants to help you know our Creator's deep love for you in Christ. And he wants to send you a copy of Secrets to Real Intimacy with God as thanks for your gift to support the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So please, share generously today and request your copy of Secrets to Real Intimacy with God. Go online to equip.org and request your copy. That's equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. In the new book titled The Myth of Persecution, Notre Dame scholar Candida Moss argues that the tradition of long, bloody persecutions of Christians by a hostile Roman Empire and the heroic martyrdoms of the faithful have been invented by the church and its historians. There is only one problem with this thesis, the actual historical evidence. Other topics include the gun control debate, two Christian perspectives. Alexander Solzhenitsyn confronts the Grand Inquisitor. What cops can teach Christians about the critical use of language? Don't all religions lead to heaven? And much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. People are looking for love in all the wrong places. But to find real love and amazing intimacy, we don't have to look any further than our Creator, the one who wants to know you and loves you enough to give His life for you. This month, Hank Hanegraaff wants to help you grow into a deeper love with the one who made you by sending you his newest book called Secrets to Real Intimacy with God. It's his way of saying thank you for your gift and support of the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, a gift that helps reach others who are desperate to know true intimacy with God. So please, share generously today and request your copy of Secrets to Real Intimacy with God when you call 888-7000-CRI with your gift. 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. People are looking for love in all the wrong places. But to find amazing love, we should look no further than our Creator. Hank Hanegraaff wants to help you grow in your love with the One who made you by sending you Secrets to Real Intimacy with God. It's his gift to thank you for your donation to the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This is the last day to request this unique and transformational resource as our thanks for your gift. So request your copy of this important new book when you call 888-7000-CRI with your gift today. That's 888-7000-CRI. Well, let's hear more now from your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we'll go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Jeff, listening in Marion, Ohio, on the World Wide Web. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, Hank. How you doing?
Doing well, thank you.
I have a question. I went to this church for about a month, and a couple of weeks into it, the pastor got up on the podium, and he says that he packs a gun. And he says that he carries a gun because the American Constitution says that he's allowed to. And if I may elaborate for a minute, he has security guards in the church, and I don't know if they're armed or not. I think they are, but I'm not sure. And then about 3 weeks into it, he invited the men to a men's conference in Cleveland where we were going to listen to a Navy SEAL give a lecture. But before he went, he showed a video in the church of these Navy SEALs going down a river shooting a machine gun, you know. And so this whole thing made me kind of nervous, so I've taken a break from that church until I can figure out this problem. I want to get your opinion on the idea of a pastor having guns in his church.
Well, it's a complicated question, and there are a lot of nuances in answering that question. In fact, it is so complicated that we did a debate in the Christian Research Journal. It's called The Gun Control Debate, Two Christian Perspectives. So on the one hand, we have Michael Austin arguing that he would support stricter gun laws. And then you have Ron Gleason, a Reformed Christian perspective on the Second Amendment and guns to keep and bear arms. So this debate is carried on the Christian Research Journal, and quite frankly, when I say it's a highly nuanced question, reading the articles will underscore that, as it were, in red. If a pastor is packing a gun in order to protect the flock, and he has some real reason for that, you know, perhaps you can make a case for it. I personally am very uncomfortable with it. I say I personally am very uncomfortable with it because I didn't grow up around guns, and the whole notion just seems so foreign to me that I can't fathom it. But
I gotcha.
Certainly there
is. I understand.
But again, the article I think would be very helpful to you, and it's the current edition of the Christian Research Journal.
There's another thing to this, and you know, I like this pastor. He's cool in a way, but the way he talks, you know, he's very up on current events and political stuff that's going on, and doesn't like Obama and all that. And the thing that came across to me was, and maybe I shouldn't take this leap, but it sounded to me like he's kind of like edging on civil war in a way. Now, I'm not saying that he is, but it sure, there are times when it sounds like that. You know, and I was talking to a friend of mine about this, and you know, when the guards came to arrest Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, and Simon Peter pulled out his sword and cut out the guy's ear, Jesus said, "Put away your sword. Those who live by the sword will die by the sword." And that kind of, it just gnaws at me.
Well, again, I think you would very much enjoy this article. By the way, if the justification for the widespread possession of guns is to deter or deal with a possible future tyrannical state, then by the same reasoning, that would also be right to possess tanks and missiles and weapons of mass destruction,
yeah.
which would be needed to deter reverse tyranny. Appreciate your call. The article available in the current edition of the Christian Research Journal. Let's go right back to the phone callers. Next up, we'll talk to Junior, listening in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, WTRU. Hi, Junior.
Hey, Hank. The pastor did a sermon, and part of the sermon was that Eve's son, Cain, she conceived from the devil. Genesis 4, paraphrase Bible, reads that then Adam had sexual intercourse with Eve. Adam had sexual intercourse with Eve. And further down it goes, she says, with God's help, I have created man. What in the Bible or any information that's out there constitute that the devil is Cain's son?
That Cain is the devil's son. Yeah, there's no evidence for that whatsoever. In fact, kinds reproduce after their own kinds. The very notion that a non-physical being can have sex with a woman is an interjection of pagan mythology on the scripture. And unfortunately, there are those that want to make that interjection. There's no warrant for it whatsoever. Demons are non-physical, non-corporeal beings, and therefore they don't have the wherewithal to have sex with women. Not only that, but demons cannot create bodies and fertile sperm and the like. God can allow an angel to take on physical form because God has creative prowess, but demons do not have creative prowess. And therefore, again, the notion may be popular in Greek mythology where the gods had sex with women, but it shouldn't be part of Christian theology.
Okay. Thank you.
You got it. Appreciate your call. Do want to mention before we go to our next caller that we are now at the end of the month, and this is a time in which we are still behind substantially in our bills, and so I wanted to make our listening audience aware of that so that if you have some of the Lord's resources, you can invest in the ministry. You could do that as soon as possible so that we can say on the stations that we are now broadcasting on, you can give in a safe, secure fashion on the World Wide Web at equip.org, and we have immediate access to those resources, or you can send a check in the mail to Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Resource Consultants is always standing by, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. Also want to mention that this is the last day that we are offering the resource of the month titled Secrets to Real Intimacy with God as our way of saying thank you for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. And for those who join the monthly Bible Answer Man support team, I'd be pleased to send you a personalized copy of one of my books, most notably the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition or the Creation Answer Book. Again, you can access that on the web at equip.org. Let's go right back to the phone callers. Next up is Zach, listening in Beach City, Texas, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Zach.
Hi, Hank. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I need a little help with understanding Proverbs chapter 8.
Yeah.
Can you explain to me the context of that chapter? And if that's a little vague, maybe starting from verse 22 to 32, really trying to understand that, if you can give me a little interpretation of that.
Sure. Well, you have to remember that Proverbs is wisdom literature to begin with. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to discern the sayings of understanding. And ultimately, we realize as we read through this wisdom literature that understanding and knowledge becomes wisdom when it is applied. Everyone who does these words of mine or hears these words of mine and puts them into practice, said Jesus, is like a wise man that built his house upon the rock. So the context of Proverbs is wisdom. And in verse 22, you have the words, the Lord brought me forth as the first of his works before his deeds of old. But then goes on in contextualization to say, I was appointed from eternity, from the beginning, before the world began. So there was always wisdom because there was always God, and God was never without wisdom. So here in the book of Proverbs, we have the personification of wisdom. In other words, it is a literary device to communicate the significance of wisdom. But obviously, wisdom is not created, because how can the wisdom of God be created if it is eternal as God himself is eternal? So wisdom is personified as a woman in Proverbs chapter 9, and she lives with another woman named Prudence. So if you want wisdom to be a person in the literal sense, then you have Prudence as a person in the literal sense as well. And obviously that is absurd. There are no female messiahs.
Okay. I'm not sure if I'm completely clear, but I think I read it again. I'll go back and certainly make sense.
But yeah, it's just personifying wisdom as a literary device. And so, again, the same thing is done with other words, like prudence is personified as a woman. So if wisdom and prudence are living together, you would think that two people are living together if you took it in a literalistic sense. And obviously, that's not the sense in which you should take it.
Yeah, I agree. Thank you.
You got it. Thank you for your call. Yeah, and let's go right back to the phone callers. Next up is Daniel listening in Arkansas Bot Radio. Hi, Daniel.
Hi, Hank. Glad you're talking to me.
Nice to talk to you.
Okay, so actually, as I was listening in or waiting for you to answer my phone call, you had made mention to demons in relationship with women, and that actually segues right into my question, but you may have already answered it. So I'll go ahead and ask it, but you might be recovering your tracks.
Okay.
When you have in Genesis 6 the mention of the Nephilim, I got really curious. Actually, I'll backtrack a little bit. I got curious of why God would wipe out everyone on the earth, and in certain sections in the Old Testament, you have certain civilizations that also are completely obliterated, man, human, you know, and animal alike, by the people of God. And you have the spies in Canaan who are talking about, you know, they were like giants in the land, these extra human character qualities given to certain civilizations. So that kind of segues into my question. When God is searching the entire earth for one righteous man and finds Noah to be righteous, Noah and his three sons and their prospective wives, how does that square along with the concept of none is righteous, no, not one? My supposition was that if you are the great deceiver, if you're Satan, and you're trying to thwart God's inevitable plan for salvation, if you can get the sons of heaven to intermingle with the daughters of men and pollute the entire gene pool, you basically cut us off from being a direct descendant of God. And that would require divine intervention, something like the flood, to destroy everyone but Noah, who, you know, for the sake of this line of reasoning, I'm understanding righteousness as he was unpolluted by the sons of heaven, referred to.
Well, no, that's reading way too much into the passage. And what we have in the passage actually is a judgment on fallen humanity. And the problem here is that sons of God is taken to mean fallen angels by some, but there's no warrant for that because words or phrases in the scripture are not unifical, they're equivocal. They take on the meaning that the context allows them to have. This is the pollution that comes from sin, and all of us have sin. Noah had sin, but he was a follower of God, and that was the point. We'll be right back.
Whether you're talking about the game of golf or the art of Christian living, you have to focus on the basics to be successful. That's why Hank Hanegraaff wants to put his newest book, Secrets to Real Intimacy with God, in your hands this month. He wants to help you know our Creator's deep love for you. This special resource is our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This is the last day to request this unique and transformational resource as our thanks for your gift. So please go to equip.org and request your copy today. That's equip.org. We'll be right back with Hank Hanegraaff after this. People are looking for love in all the wrong places. But to find real love and amazing intimacy, we don't have to look any further than our Creator, the one who wants to know you and loves you enough to give His life for you. This month, Hank Hanegraaff wants to help you grow into a deeper love with the one who made you by sending you his newest book called Secrets to Real Intimacy with God. It's his way of saying thank you for your gift in support of the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, a gift that helps reach others who are desperate to know true intimacy with God. So please, share generously today and request your copy of Secrets to Real Intimacy with God when you call 888-7000-CRI with your gift. 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Sandy Hook School, the Washington Navy Yard, the Aurora Theater. Mass murders such as these have been shaking the national composure with alarming regularity. And such shootings only begin to tell the story of gun-related violence in America. Should current gun laws be strengthened, or does the solution lie elsewhere? Other topics include The New Nothingness, a look at Lawrence Krauss's A Universe from Nothing. God is love, but is love God? Does the Bible require Christians to attend church? God and the Unreasonable Effectiveness of Mathematics, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff stumbled upon a secret when it comes to his beloved game of golf. When things go wrong with his game, it's not because he's failing to follow some faddish formula. It's because he's compromised a basic fundamental. Getting back to basics applies not only to the game of golf, but also to the art of Christian living. And that's why Hank wants to put his newest book, Secrets to Real Intimacy with God, into your hands. He wants to help you know our Creator's deep love for you in Christ. And he wants to send you a copy of Secrets to Real Intimacy with God as thanks for your gift to support the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So please, share generously today and request your copy of Secrets to Real Intimacy with God. Go online to equip.org and request your copy. That's equip.org. Life is a series of one challenge after another. And when things begin to fall apart, we're often tempted to look for solutions in all the wrong places. That's why this month Hank Hanegraaff wants to send you a special resource to help you draw closer to our Creator. It's called Secrets to Real Intimacy with God. And this book is our thank you to you for your donation to the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man. This is the last day to request this unique and transformational resource as our thanks for your gift. So call 888-7000-CRI right now with your gift. That's 888-7000-CRI. Let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy. And again, the last day that we are making available as our gift, our monthly gift, for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, the book Secrets to Real Intimacy with God. And one of those secrets, of course, is prayer. And if we're honest with ourselves, most of us, well, we've learned to pray backward. We hurry into God's presence with a laundry list of prayer requests, and Before our knees have ever touched the floor, we're already thinking about getting back to our frenzied lifestyles, and as such, we often treat our Heavenly Father no better than we treat our families. We want a relationship without the investment of quality time. So let me encourage you to find a secret place, a place where you can drown out the static of the world so as to spend quality time with your Heavenly Father. We are all unique creations of God, and therefore your secret place is no doubt going to be different from mine. The point is that we all desperately need to remove ourselves from the invasive sounds of this world so that we can experience intimate communion with the lover of our souls. Not only so, but it is crucial to develop the discipline of listening for the voice of God. All too often, our noisy askings drowned out the voice of the one we so long to hear. God has sent us 66 love letters, and they're etched in heavenly handwriting, and the more we meditate upon those words, the clearer His voice is going to resonate in the sounds of our silence. So purpose to make prayer a priority. We must ever be mindful that prayer is the extraordinary opportunity for developing intimacy with God. The bottom line is that relationships, whether human or divine, must be continually nurtured. If we are to nurture a strong walk with God, we must be in constant touch with God, and not through vain repetitions, but through intimate, personal communion. Just one of the secrets to real intimacy with God, part of the book, last day we're offering for your gift. You can get your copy for your gift on the web at equip.org or by writing me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, resource consultants are standing by, 888-7000 and the letter CRI. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Beth, Raleigh, North Carolina, WPJL. Hi, Beth.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you.
Thank you for taking my call.
Pleasure.
I have this question about a book that's been going around or hearing it and seeing it on YouTube. Says Jesus is not God. I know Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Could you expound on that for me, please?
Well, yes, but saying that Jesus Christ is the Son of God does not mean that Jesus Christ is not very God, because Son of God certainly points to Jesus Christ in the fullness or the effulgence of His divinity. And Jesus Christ over and over again demonstrated that He was God through the very things that He did. He was able to heal blind eyes. He was able, through His own power, to overcome death and the grave. But in many different places, Jesus Christ overtly claimed that He was God, such that the Jews took His words as being the epitome of blasphemy. And when Jesus said, "I and the Father are one," the Jews said, "We are not stoning you for the miraculous deeds that you're doing, but because you, a mere man, claim that you are God." So Jesus, again, over and over again, took on the claim of being God. The Bible claims that Jesus Christ is God, and the supernatural works that Jesus Christ did in His earthly sojourn demonstrate that He was God.
Thank you very much.
You are welcome. Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Jason in Oklahoma, also Bot Radio. Hi, Jason.
Hello, Hank. Thanks for taking my call. This question may actually tie in with your resource for the month, but I was just wondering that, have you had any period in your own walk where you struggled, what they would refer to as a backslide, and if you have, what did you do to help you come out of that?
Yeah, this does very much relate to the resource for the month, Secrets to Real Intimacy with God, because as I have confessed on the Bible Answer Man broadcast and in various places throughout my writings, I love the game of golf. And although it has brought me great satisfaction over the years, it has been extremely frustrating as well. At certain times, I feel like I am on the verge of setting a new course record, but in other instances, I wonder why I ever started playing golf in the first place. After many years of practicing and playing, I finally stumbled on a secret. When things go wrong, it's not because I'm failing to follow some newfangled faddish formula, but because I have compromised one of the basic fundamentals of the game. And I never cease to be amazed at how quickly things fall back into place when I get back to basics. And what is true with respect to the game of golf is equally true in the art of successful Christian living. When everything goes awry, it also comes back into focus when we focus on the basics. And that is precisely, in fact, why I felt led of the Lord to put that resource together, Secrets to Real Intimacy with God. Because when things start to fall apart in our lives, and our life certainly is one series of challenges after the other, we're often tempted to look for solutions in all the wrong places. The secrets to real intimacy with God are always found in getting back to basics. And that's what that resource is about. When the winds and waves of doubt beat upon your house of faith, you can return to those pillars and posts that you can hold on to, knowing that God created the universe, Jesus Christ is God, and the Bible's the infallible repository of redemptive revelation, everything necessary for faith and practice. That's an illustration of going back to basics.
Thank you, Hank. I guess my question to that would be, how do you know love is real? I mean, I can say I love Jesus, but I mean, you talk about all the time about your emotions and being careful of your emotions being, you know, not true to what's really going on, or deceiving, I should say. How do you know you love? I need to get your resource and just read it.
But, yeah, the resource would be helpful, but I mean, think about what David said in Psalm 51, "Oh Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise." And then he said, "You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, you will not despise." David here is demonstrating his love for the Lord, because when he violates the principles of the kingdom, he is brokenhearted by those violations, and therefore he goes to the Lord and tells the Lord, "I love you." And it's not just an empty word, because it's not just about a burnt offering or an outer manifestation, but it is the intent of the heart. This is why David was recognized in Scripture as a man after God's own heart, a man whose heart panted after God like a deer pants after the water brooks.
Yeah, well, thank you, Hank, for taking my call and answering that question for me, and I'll definitely get that resource. I just want to say that for any Christian out there, I told myself 4 years ago that I would never be a backslider, and 4 years now I'm having to question whether or not I'm a real Christian, and I just know that I never would have imagined it would have happened to me, but it did. One little compromise here, and one little compromise there, and this is what happens, and so people need to be careful for that.
Yeah, but Jason, here's the thing that you want to ask yourself right now at this very moment. In fact, I'm going to ask you the question, do you want to follow Jesus Christ? Do you believe that he is the wisest man who ever lived, and therefore you want to do what he says in terms of living out your life?
I absolutely do. And it's just, you know, you let the world kind of choke you up and, you know, see seeds amongst the thorns kind of thing. So is that seed a true Christian? Can they still make it? You know,
Well, the thing is, your answer is the answer. If you say you love Jesus Christ and you want to follow Jesus Christ, you recognize not only that he was the wisest man who ever lived, but also God in human flesh. If you want to follow him, yes, you're going to stumble on the path as you go from this point to the time in which you meet him face to face, but he is never going to leave or forsake you. And even in the darkest moments, he's going to carry you. But you have to recognize that now the indwelling Christ lives within you. So when you look out of your eyes, it is, in fact, wanting to look out of your eyes and see as Christ would see, to be as Christ would do. And that's why you want to use everything at your disposal to participate in the kingdom. But the real operative word is willingness, because we do fall, we all stumble, and certainly I'm one of those that stumble along with everybody else. But my righteousness is not a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ.
Yes, sir. Well, thank you. Thank you, Hank. I definitely need to get that source in. And, you know, getting into the Word, I think the biggest thing that hurt me is that I stopped reading. After so many years, I read every single page. I loved it, and I loved Jesus, and I just kind of put the Bible aside and stopped going to it. Then I stopped going to church. It's just a snowball of things that happened. And so... thank you very much for...
Well, thank you for your candor. And what you have pointed out, I think, is helpful to our listeners as well, because if we want to develop intimacy with a human being, let's say with a son or a daughter, or with your wife, it involves the investment of quality time. And the same thing is true with our Lord. And so what you've pointed out is so important for everybody to hear. If you stop going to church, or... you stop reading the Bible, or you stop praying, what you do is you separate yourself from God. It doesn't mean that your union with God is gone, but it does mean that your communion with God is broken and that intimacy wanes. Developing intimacy involves the investment of quality time.
Thank you very much, Hank.
You got it, Jason. Appreciate your call. We're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. As always, we thank those that support this ministry. We simply can't do what we do without you. The gospel's free. Someone has to put in the plumbing. So we ask you to pray for us and to support this ministry, particularly at this junction, as we are now at the end of the month and we are behind and trying to catch up. By God's grace, we will, as God brings people like you and resources into the lives of people, because that's what it's about. It's not about giving to us, but through us, touching the lives of people for time and for eternity. Again, you can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org, or when you write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Or you can pick up the phone and talk to one of our resource consultants, 888-7000, and the letter CRI. Thanks for tuning in. See you next time with more.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. To listen to the broadcast on the internet, visit equip.org, where you'll also find a wealth of information and resources to equip you. To talk to a resource consultant, call 888-7000-274. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by the Christian Research Institute, a ministry supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. In the new book titled The Myth of Persecution, Notre Dame scholar Candida Moss argues that the tradition of long bloody persecutions of Christians by a hostile Roman Empire and the heroic martyrdoms of the faithful have been invented by the church and its historians. There is only one problem with this thesis: the actual historical evidence. Other topics include the gun control debate, two Christian perspectives. Alexander Solzhenitsyn confronts the Grand Inquisitor. What cops can teach Christians about the critical use of language. Don't all religions lead to heaven? And much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. People are looking for love in all the wrong places. But to find real love and amazing intimacy, we don't have to look any further than our Creator.
the one who wants to know you and loves you enough to give his life for you. This month, Hank Hanegraaff wants to help you grow into a deeper love with the one who made you by sending you his newest book called Secrets to Real Intimacy with God. It's his way of saying thank you for your gift and support of the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, a gift that helps reach others who are desperate to know true intimacy with God. So please, share generously today and request your copy of Secrets to Real Intimacy with God when you call 888-7000-CRI with your gift. 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI.